So last week we discussed the case where a person was watching his friend's house for the summer. He saw the refrigerator was running. Why should his friend waste electricity? He pulled the plug, which was a dumb thing to do because he didn't bother looking to see if anything was in. He found that there were chickens in afterwards, which smelled up the house. He then decided to throw away the chickens. And the friend said, "You threw away my $10,000 in cash that I had hidden in the freezer, along with the chickens." Right? So we, even though the first week we said, "Oh, the mu'ad li'olam," a person is always responsible for everything he does. Whatever a person does, he has to pay for it. But over here, there was regarding the $10,000, there was the extenuating circumstance called ones gamar. Ones gamar, which we said in the first week also, was a completely unavoidable thing. Who would have ever thought of such a thing? So he wasn't responsible to pay for the $10,000. And regarding the chickens themselves, we introduced the concept of grama. It's sometimes called causality. It means that you didn't directly damage the person. What you did was you pulled the plug, which then the hot air ended up ruining the chickens. But it wasn't that the person went and just threw the chickens into the garbage or something like that. So we introduced the concept of grama, that a person, even though a person is chai for anything he does, but if it's a grama, it's an indirect action, the damage comes indirectly, the person is not responsible to pay for that. The court can't force him to pay. We said that b'dei shamayim, it's the right thing to pay, but the court can't enforce such a payment if the damage does not come directly from the person's action. He pulled the plug, but the damage was caused by the heat. Okay, so that's what we said last week. Now, this week's case, I hope you don't mind. If you do mind, I can switch it. But I want to say my own case, not something that really happened. Maybe it happened, but until now we've been saying cases from the Sefer, which were Shilas and Shuvas, which I think they were actual things that happened. I don't know if they did in a Torah, but they were actual cases. So is it okay if I say a case? Maskim? Okay. So say a case like this. You won the lottery, right? The $1 million lottery. You have the ticket over here, and you go tell your friend, "Look, I won the lottery." And you thought he was your friend, but I guess jealousy got hold of him and said, "That's not fair, you have $1 million and I don't." And he goes and he rips it into shreds and throws it, flushes it down to the sink, and it's gone. Is the friend, the former friend, obligated to pay damages for tearing up the lottery ticket? Okay, so tonight we're going to introduce a concept called garmi. Right, last week is groma, this week is garmi. Okay, the Gemara on Daf Tzadi Ches and Baba Kama says like this. There's a whole list of cases that Rabba says. The last one he says is this: Hasarev shtarel shal chaveiro. If someone burns his friend's, his fellow's debt document, right? I have an IOU that says that Reuven owes me $10,000, and someone came along and burnt it up. I can't collect anymore. Pater. The person, Rabba says, the person is pater. De'amalei, because he can tell him, Niyara kolay minach, I burnt paper. What did I do with paper? I'll pay you for the paper. The paper's probably not worth a shava pruta, so I don't even have to pay the paper. So, if someone burns that shtar, he's pater, because he can say, "I just burnt paper, I'll pay you the value of the paper." So, the Gemara concludes, Amemer says, Mande doin dina digarmi. There's a machlokes Rameir and Chachanim, whether we collect on cases of garmi. So the one that says we collect on cases of garmi, magmi ve dinei shtar ma'alya, he will collect the value of a bona fide good star. Umande lo doin dina digarmi, and someone who doesn't collect on cases of garmi, I'm not translating garmi because I don't have a good translation. It's some sort of indirect damage. So someone who doesn't collect garmi cases, he can only collect the value of the paper. The Gemara concludes, and this is where we pass. There was a Maisa Shahaya, the Kofia Rafim Rav Ashi. Rafim forced Rav Ashi The value of the best of his property, like the best of the beams, which is used for making the designs on them, it has to be a good quality beam, right? They have paint grade and stain grade. It was a stain grade beam. He made him pay from the best, like a real mazik. You might ask, what's Rav Ashi doing burning up someone's shtar chov? So Rav Ashi says, he was a child. He was a child when he burnt it up. I mean, you know, it's... Right, so that's a good question. Right, so there's, maybe we'll speak about this 1 week, but it seems from here that there is some, well, there's two questions. First of all, it seems like there is some responsibility for the child. The child seems to be having to pay when he gets older. And the other question is, if he's chayv to pay, why is Rav Ashi have to force Rav Ashi? Rav Ashi is the one who wrote the Gemara, right? And if we have to drag him to a Din Torah and he's not going to pay on his own, who are we going to ever have pay on his own? Like, so the Taz answers one question with the other. Taz is in Orach Chaim, Siman Shin Mem Gimel. The Taz, this is Derech Agav. It won't be on the final. But the Taz answers that really you're not chayiv if you're a katan to pay. You're not chayiv to pay if you're a katan. Except there's a midas chasidus to pay if you damage something when you were a katan. So then it's a nice thing to do to make up for it when you get older. Like, you know, if you throw the baseball in the your neighbor's window when you were younger, so it'd be nice when you get older to pay him the $150 to repair the window, whatever the value of the window was. But you don't have to. So when it says that Rafram forced Rav Ashi, I mean, he forced him, you know, he said he convinced him. He said, Rav Ashi, you know, you're a Gadol Adar here, you know, it'd be right that you pay. And that was enough for Rav Ashi. You know, as he convinced him, his words were what forced Rav Ashi to pay. His parents, I don't know, they either didn't hold that there's a Midas Chasidus, or they held that...
No, they're liable.
They're not liable. Right. Right. We'll get into things of children, but... Yeah, but children, the Mishnah says, they're Pigyos and Ra, you know, they're bad news if you cross paths with one of them, because you can't collect anything from it if a child does something to you. Okay, so, that's the Gemara. The Gemara is clearly saying... that there's something called garmi. Even though we said a grama, something that's an indirect damage, a person's not liable for it, at least bidei adam, but if it's a direct damage, something that's, if it's a garmi type big damage, also an indirect, right? He burnt, like we were saying in the beginning, the shtar chov is also indirect. It's not worth anything intrinsically. It's something even gives you a right to collect from Reuven. But he's still chayav for a garmi. Okay, but the issue that we have to deal with is, what's the difference between grama and garmi? Right? Grama, person is not responsible for, he's not liable for it in dini adam, and garmi, he is. So the Rishonim go to town. Everyone has different opinions. Rashi seems to be mashi different places. There is no difference. Rashi uses them interchangeably. Some achok is what Rashi really holds. But Rashi doesn't even seem to make a difference in most places. But the poskim that do make a difference, which is the ones that meet halacha, are the Rosh and Tosfos. The Rosh, I've printed on the handout, the Rosh quotes Tosfos, we're giving two definitions of what makes something garmi, that it's not gram anymore. The two definitions, he says, it has to be something that is a direct, it's that he damaged the property. It might not be a direct, it's not a direct damage of the property, but what he did was he damaged the property. But that is the thing that he did. And it was a bari hazeka. He also was also certain that it would happen. Like, he burnt the shtar. He burnt the document. There's nothing else. You know, he burnt the document. That's the damage. And it's for sure causing the problem, assuming it's a case where he's not going to be able to collect anymore. Certainly in our case with the lottery ticket, right? It means he's not going to collect anymore. And then he brings a second reason that it also has to have an immediate result. It has to be an immediate, it's an immediate damage. And the way I've tried this test for the cases I can think of, I think if we say, you know, colloquially, we say the damage is done. Right? If you say those words, the damage is done with what he did, so then that makes it garmi. If the damage isn't done, so then it's grama. Let's try a couple cases, you'll see. He burnt the shtar chov. He burnt the document. The damage is done. Right? It's nothing left to talk about. the case we had the first week, or the case we had last week, say. He put someone's chicken out into the field in the middle of the night and tied it there, and it's going to be so hot the next day that the chicken is going to die from dehydration. Right? So when he tied up the chicken out there in the middle of the night, the damage wasn't done yet. It's going to happen later. And the heat of the sun's going to kill it. He didn't directly damage it. It's going to happen later. Another case that's called a groma is someone's, say he's moving and he decided to, or maybe it's sukkahs and he lives on the third floor and he doesn't want to walk down all the steps. So he throws his things out. He has a trampoline on the bottom. He throws down his dishes on the pillows down there so he doesn't have to schlep them all downstairs. And so he drops it down and someone comes along and pulls out the pillows. So that, according to most poskim, is groma, because there the damage wasn't done yet. You have to wait for gravity to take its effect. So that would be a groma.
There's a substantial certainty that gravity will pull down the object.
Right, there's certainly a certainty it has, but he didn't do any, he didn't touch the, he didn't touch the
plate.
Huh? Right, he didn't touch the, right, the thing is he has to, I was just trying to make a shorthand, but the rule is he has to be acting on the thing that's being damaged. Right, and he didn't touch the plate, he touched the pillow. That's called indirect, that's groma. What garmi is that he's acting directly on the thing that's being damaged. It might not be a direct, immediate damage, but, well, it has to be an immediate, at least beginning of the damage, but he is acting on that thing which will be the damage, and there's nothing else that's going to make the damage. Burning the lottery ticket, burning the Shtar Chov, he did it. It's now burnt. That Shtar, you can't collect your debt anymore. The guy we know is someone who doesn't collect unless he has a receipt. Unless he has proof, and it's gone. You did a direct damage. That's what the Rosh says. There's Tosfos and Baba Basra says that it's the whole thing, these differences are so hard to hear. Really, the whole thing's only midrabanan. And the Chachamim said things that are common occurrences, that's where they made a knas, they made a fine. It's not chai midaraisa, they just made a fine. And it was up to Chacham to decide which case is more common, which case is less common. That's the way Tosfos brings from the Ritzva, and that Shita also makes it into Halacha as a Yeshomim, as an opinion. Just an interesting fact, like, it always bothered me, like, it's like games. We call one Grama and one Garmi. Like, what's the difference? Why does Grama mean one thing and garmi mean the other? But it's besides just the definitions that we're trying to say garmi is worse. But why does the word garmi in Hebrew invoke a stronger image than groma? So I saw the Levush says an answer. The Levush says in Hebrew you can say someone was shavar, he broke something, and then you can say shiber, he shattered it. Right, that's binyan kavod. There's binyan kalin and there's binyan kavod. In Hebrew, you have such a concept. You can have the same root, and in one way, it means a simple action, and you make shiber, he smashed it into smithereens. So grama, he wants to say, is caused it. Garmi is he really caused it. That's one answer. The sma gives a different answer. He says it's yet to take the whole phrase. Grama ben izokin, that's on the headline of last week's sheets. Grama ben izokin means the caused damage, meaning he caused the damage, but the damage was somewhere else. Dina de garmi means you made the damage, it's just that your damage wasn't a direct, immediate result, or it was immediate according to one sheet, but it wasn't a direct result. It's something that, you know, like the Shtar Chov, you won't be able to collect. Another example given is, suppose I lent Shimon $1,000, and he gave me the Shtar. I have a document, a note that says that Shimon owes me $1,000, and then I sell it to a lady for $700, $800 at a discount, and then I forgive the chov to Shimon. I say, Shimon, you're my friend, you don't have to pay me back. So the halacha is that you can't forgive it, but you have to pay the damages to Levi, because you sold it to him, and then you caused, right? What's the damage? It's still an indirect damage. It means that now Levi can't use it to collect, but it's my words is what did the damage, and it's immediate and it's clear that now Levi's not going to collect anymore.
That's
Right, well, it could be that if it's worth more now, so then you'd have to pay what it's worth now. Or is it right now, it's now closer to the time of the debt, and maybe now it's worth $800,000, so now he's damaging him an $800,000 note. See, that's what I want to get into now also. Let's say in a simple case, the case of a shvar chov, the case of a debt document. Right, the Shulchan Aruch paskins that if someone damages the shvar chov, he burns it up, he has to pay, the lashon of the mechaber, he has to pay, what's the lashon? He has to pay the whole debt that's in the shtar. Let's say it was a $10,000 loan, $10,000 note, and that's what he tore up. So the Shulchan Aruch would seem to be saying, you have to pay $10,000. The Shach says, the Shulchan Aruch is lav dafka. It doesn't really mean $10,000. What it means is what it's worth now. If, you know, that it's not going to be due, it's not going to be due for a few years. Right now it might be worth $8,000. So that's what you have to pay, the full value of what it's worth now. Right now it's worth $8,000. That's what you have to pay. So that's what we're, that's the Shach's Psak. The halacha is that even though the Shulchan Aruch seems to be saying you're paying the full value, that means the value of full value of what it's worth now, not what it's going to be worth eventually. Right? It doesn't mean the face value. It means the current value, because that's what he damaged. Right now it's worth $8,000. He burned it up, so he caused him a damage of $8,000. So that's what the Shach says. So we'll have to keep that in mind. Okay, we'll say it right now. You know, it's people's minds. So the lottery ticket, right? What's a lottery ticket worth before the drawing? Not face value, right? Well, it's worth something.
By the
I think it's worth a dollar.
It's worth a dollar.
Right? It's whatever you would pay for it at the store. That's the going rate for it. Yeah, but in halacha we go in what the market value is, and the market value of a lottery ticket I think is going to be a dollar or maybe a little bit less, because, you know, I'd like to buy it from the store, not from you. But in halacha we go by what the market value is, and the market value of a lottery ticket before the lottery is a dollar, I think. Right? Would everyone pay a dollar, 80 cents, 90 cents? I don't know, but that's what it's worth. And then the next day, you know, he wins. I mean, that's grammar. Right, that's not got me anywhere, that's grandma, because right now he paid him the dollar. I'm sorry, I paid your lottery ticket. I paid you for it. Here's your dollar. You won tomorrow. You know, it's like these stories you hear of someone gives someone a birthday present, the lottery ticket, and it's the winning ticket. Right, you hear about these stories every so often. So the guy that gave the birthday present doesn't say, you know, you should give it back to me because I really bought it and it's really mine, and you'd be an Indian giver, right? He knows that he gave it to him, and that's it. So same thing over here. The guy burnt the ticket before the lottery. Right now it's only worth a dollar. At that time it's only worth a dollar. He paid him. He won the next day. So that's just life.
How does he know he won the lottery?
He wrote down the numbers.
He
knows the numbers. Okay, so that takes care of that. But now we have to get to the issue of how about if it's accidental, deliberate. Right, we learned the first time that the Olam or the Olam, a person is always responsible for his actions, whether it's the onus or shogeg, whether it's deliberate, not deliberate, foreseeable, not foreseeable. A person is always chayiv, unless it's an onus gomer, complete, out of, you know, something you would never think of, like the case we spoke about last week, throwing away the chickens. Who would think that he stored his $10,000 in the bags of chickens, right? That person's not responsible for it. But anything else, a person is responsible. So do we say the same thing over here, that if he walked into the house and there was a scrap of paper and he didn't realize it was a lottery ticket, would he still be a chayiv? Right? You know, it's just up in the air. So the truth is, we have to see. There's a basic machlokes about dina degarmi, and that will answer this question. Because, like we said in the beginning, Tosfos seems to say the whole thing's only a kanas. The Ramban holds that dina degarmi, when we say that a person is high for a garmi, this stronger type of causative damage, that is a din gomer. He's high midaraisa, as if he damaged the person directly. It's like a direct damage. There's no difference between, you know, shooting his cow and killing it, or burning his shtar chov and ruining it. He's chayiv. the Shach says he brings a lot of rice from different Rishonim, including this Tosu, said it's only a Knas. It's not Chai de Raisa, because the Maisa was. It was only it was indirect. It wasn't a direct damage. It was an indirect damage. A person is not Chayiv at a de Raisa level. It's a Takonis Chachamim. So based on that, the Shach says, this is in the second page of the handout, the Shach says that will be a big difference in Halacha in this case, whether it was a deliberate damage or whether it was indeliberate, foreseeable and not foreseeable. Because the only time we say Adamo Leolam, that's when he does a direct damage and he damaged that person directly, so then he's chayav no matter what. But over here, if you learn that it's just a knas, it really, the person should not even be liable at all because it was only indirect, it was causative, he didn't do a direct damage. So then, we don't see anywhere that the Chacham says Chai if he did it accidentally or if it was a mistake. It's only if he did it purposely. So then the person will be Chayiv. But according to the Ramban, who says that this Din of the Garmi is the same as Adam HaMazik, it's the same as direct damage. This is such a strong, it's such a strong source of the damage. I'm so closely involved with it. It's Chayiv Midoraisa, so then he'll be Chayiv, whether it's on purpose or not on purpose. So the Shach, who is our Pasuk Acharon, the Shach himself holds a person is only Chayiv if it was direct, if it was purposeful, and if it was foreseeable. So according to the Shach, in this case, the person walked into his house and it was just on the table and he used it to scribble an address and then threw it away afterwards. So we could not make him pay damages in that case. Even though it's Garmi, but the Shach says you're not responsible. That, because like we said in the beginning, this is still indirect. It's still, you're causing him not to be able to collect his winning ticket.
Huh?
Yeah, I think Alach L'maisa will be this case where you accidentally went and wrote and used it. This is a very big Alach L'maisa difference. So according to the Shach, he won't be chayiv because it wasn't on purpose. It's only a shogeg, and he won't be chayiv on that. Chaim, you had a question.
No, I'm trying to say even the rabbanim
as
a knas, he wouldn't be
chayiv. No, because if it's the rabbanim, the chacham only made the knas if you do it on purpose. That's what the Shach says. The chacham, it's the whole thing's the rabbanim. So the chacham says if you do it on purpose, so you're chayiv. If you did it accidentally, the shogeg, or certainly the onais, so then. And then you'll be part of it. Right. But the Shach seems to his maskon is that it's the Rabban and it's a knas. And once you have a Shach holding that way, so there's a rule that if you want to force me to pay money because you hold like the Ramban, I'll say, look, you might hold like the Ramban, but I hold like the Shach. And the Shach has a wrong Shach there, and he proves that it's only the Rabban. And then the Shach says, I don't have to pay. So, you know, it's Amosim Echever Alvaraya, or it's called Kimli. I hold like the Shach. The Shach is a Posek Acharon, and he saw the Ramban, and he disagrees with the Ramban. So that would be enough to get me out of hot water over there.
He doesn't pay attention to what he's doing, so why is that?
Well, you know, you might argue that maybe it's called Shia. Maybe it's like negligent. So, you know, so then we'll just switch the case to a case where it's not negligent, and, you know, there was a way that he wouldn't realize what it was. Right, he tended to do it, but he didn't realize that it was a lottery ticket in a way that it wasn't a pshia. You know, whatever, you know, we could think of a case where it's unintentional. But I'm saying that the chiddush normally is that you can find the greatest circumstances why I shouldn't have known that it was a hazik. Normally I am chayiv if I'm an adam hamazik, but in this case where it's garmi, according to the Shach, you won't be chayiv if you can say that it was accidental or onus and it was not foreseeable. There was no way I could know it. Right? So maybe my example that he scribbled notes on it, he should have looked at it, maybe that's called pshia. So find another case that will be a shogeg or an onus. You don't like it? Oh, it's okay? Okay, so let me tell you one last halacha. Two last halachas. This is from the Divrei Gaonim. It's a Sefer Choshen Mishpat. So two volumes there. So this is what it looks like. So suppose someone has a deed to his house, and a guy goes and burns up the deed to the house. So what's the halacha? So the Divrei Gaonim says that Right now, I didn't do anything. You're still living in the house. You're still living in the house. What are you worried that someone might come one day and force you to move because you don't have proof? So you worry about it then. You'll buy a new one then. So I should pay for the money that it costs to buy a new deed at that time, or to order one from your lawyer. He should give you another copy, which who knows what that'll cost. So that's a grammar. Right now, you don't need it. There's no reason for you to order that second copy. Then you should have your own copy. Right? So David Gonim says that will not be chayiv. So the same thing in the Knesset Gdola that I have on the handout also. If someone's involved in a case and he has his different documentation and a guy comes and ruins it, then because of that, I see I've lost my best evidence now, so I'm going to go and, yeah, I thought I was going to really win big over here, but I'm going to, let's just settle out of court now because of that. So, you know, he's doing the same act. He's burning the person's documents, but it's also, then it's not a garmi anymore. Then it's just a plain grumma, because it's, this didn't say, I owe you $10,000. This said, well, my car was worth this beforehand, and I show have all my bills of the repair record that I did, and showing what it is. So when you wrecked my car, I was going to claim so much, and now I can't prove it so well anymore. It's not a direct instrument of collection, so it's not garmi anymore. That'll be a grama. Right, so there are a lot of different ways of different machlokes with garmi and grama, but in Sorech Shtaros, in this halacha of burning someone's document, I think we can have these clear rules that if it's a direct damage is done, right? This was something that I could use to make a direct collection, and I burnt it purposely, because we're going to say that if it's not for a purpose, it wouldn't be so pashit. If I purposely burnt it, so then if didn't dig on me, the person is chayiv, at least as a kenas, but only the value of what it's currently worth, not the value of the face value. It's not worth that much right now. The fact that I could have waited a year and collected a face value, that's grama. That's not direct. That's not immediate. It has to be garmi, it has to be, you did it by hand, it was an immediate result, and also was a clear cut damage from my action, even though it might have not been direct. So, if it's a shtar chov, so then you pay that amount. Same thing a check. A check is like a shtar chov. And there it's worth probably closer to face value. Right? I don't know what discount they give if you try cashing a check, but a check is worth close to face value. And they also, someone burns up someone's check and you can't get a replacement, the company's out of business now and there's no way of getting it, they went bankrupt. This was a settlement check he got from a bankrupt company and he knows he's not going to get another one, so that's a direct hezek. Yeah, and it's causative, but it's very hezek, it's clear, and we'll have to pay the value of that hezek. The lottery ticket, same thing. Before the drawing is done, it's not worth anything. He'll pay the dollar. After the drawing is, well, what's a winning ticket worth? Maybe not exactly the $1 million, but $995. Well, you don't get paid the whole thing at one shot anyway. But whatever price the market would bear for a winning ticket, that's the price he has to pay. But when we're talking about, I have a receipt that I need to prove that I bought the vacuum cleaner from the store and I want to return it, and now I'm not going to be able to return it anymore. Or they might not believe me, they might believe me, I don't know. So then, that's not garmi anymore, that's going to be grama. It's not so clear that by me destroying your receipt, that you're not going to be able to make your return anymore. Or, like the case we said of the deed, burning the deed, it's not so clear it's ever going to cause you any damage. Who says anyone's ever going to contest your ownership of the house? Who says you're ever going to want to sell your house? It could be that it'll be no problem at all. No, and then when it changes, so then it's still grama. The person might be chayyab in the neshamayim at that point. No, because garmi is only when it's an immediate result. Here it wasn't immediate. It's the fact that 10 years from now someone's going to contest my ownership of the house and I'm going to have to spend money getting another deed. So that was not immediate, it wasn't immediate damage. It has to be immediate, it has to be clear cut for my action, even though it might be indirect. Right. because it's only a way, it's something I need to prove that I bought the vacuum cleaner. It could be that they'll take it back and even without the receipt. They'll remember that I bought it, or they take their policies to take it anyway, or I'll convince them, I'll cry, I'll do whatever I need. And if it doesn't work, so then that's grum. It wasn't very hezek, it's not a clear cut hezek.